Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
And welcome back to episode 2 of our dive into Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
This is Jen and
Al.
Yes, we're super excited to have you back. So I just wanted to do like a little thing here and take a second to tell you guys that last night I went to this basketball game as a work function. And I hate stadium seats. I was in the box because they rented a box and there were seats there. So you would think that they would be more luxurious. No, my legs were ridiculously cramped. I'm not a super tall person. I'm taller than average. I'm 5'8", whatever. But I'm like all leg. So I'm all scrunched up in the seat. And I was having a great time at the game, except I was like, oh, my legs. Oh, my knees. I need to get up.
I think that's like just a usual thing for anywhere that has like mass seating. Like the seats are made for like short little people. And that's fine with like short legs. And that's
okay. Short people matter too.
Exactly. But like I'm not an elf. I need a normal seat.
You're because not Professor I'm, Flitwick. You're
yeah,
not.
I'm 6'4". So for me to sit in like a mass seating area is horrendous. Everything hurts.
Yeah.
But that's an aside.
Yeah, I literally, and I'm not exaggerating, had to get up from the seating that was there and go sit in these tall like bar stools that were at this counter height table thing that they had there for the last quarter of the game, or else my legs would have been dead. Maybe that's why my legs hurt so much right now.
Could be.
Yeah. So today we're actually going to go through chapters 2 and 3 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
You were thinking philosopher.
I wanted to say philosopher so bad.
Because right now we have a copy and it's the UK edition, so it says the Philosopher's Stone on the front. But we're American, so we're calling it Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes.
You fight me, come at me if you want. It's Sorcerer's Stone.
Don't fight him.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just take the hits. Anyway.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay.
So let's go over chapter 2.
Yeah.
The Vanishing Glass. So about 10 years later from the first chapter, we see that Harry still lives with the Dursleys, even though the house shows no signs of him being there. It actually says something like, there's no pictures of him other... There's no pictures of any boy other than Dudley.
The exact line is, the room held no sign at all that another boy lived in that house, too.
That... How awful is that? Like, no matter what, that's Lily's son. That's Petunia's sister's son. Why wouldn't she take any pictures of him?
The way I see it is that, like, in a normal family, like, where you have, like, a pet, even the pet gets in on some of the pictures. Harry is less than a yappy chihuahua to them.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
That is seriously awful.
I'm telling you.
It is despicable.
But even the picture shows, like, such a nice childhood for Dudley, like, what is it exactly? It's like photographs of him riding his bicycle, his first bicycle, on a roundabout at the fair, which I assume is like the topsy-turvy kind of thing. Okay, anyway. Playing a computer game with his father, being hugged and kissed by his mother.
So can we just talk about the computer for a second?
Oh, back in the day, computers were so expensive.
This book came out in 1997, but it started at the close. So we're talking about 1990?
Yeah, 1991.
1991. Oh my God.
Computers were so
Computers
expensive.
Were... I remember I bought my own computer in 96. Oh, I'm dating myself. And it was on sale, even. And I paid over $2,000 for it. Mind you, I had saved the money from a part-time job, so whatever. But... $2,000. How much was it 5 years before then? And they already had one.
Were drills that much money back then?
The industrial drills. That's what it was.
He sold one and got a bonus of $1 bajillion at the number.
Yes, a bajillion. He managed to get enough to buy a computer, apparently.
For funsies.
For funsies. Just to play games.
And then...
Because we know Dudley.
And then another one, but we're getting to that shortly.
Yeah, and you know Dudley isn't that smart, so...
Oh, God. auction. Anyway.
So you can tell that he's treated well. You can tell that Dudley is treated well, not Harry.
You know.
You can tell that he's loved, that he's the apple of his parents' eye.
Yeah.
That he, or eyes, because there's two of them. I know, I'm sorry. I had to. And he's got pride of place on the mantle. And like Alvaro said, Harry's not even a yappy chihuahua.
True.
We find out that Harry lives in a spider-filled cupboard under the stairs. That's where we first see him, having just been woken up from a thrilling dream of flying on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's woken up by his Aunt Petunia yelling at him.
And not even in like a, hey, get up, it's morning. It's like it's very... A,
get up!
Yeah. Up! Get up now! Like, there's no... come on.
This woman is a mother, and that's how she talks to a child. Not her child.
Up, she screeched.
She screeched. She didn't even like, say it. She screeched at him.
And she, like, barely... She... What was it? She went into the kitchen and started cooking, and then came back and demanded, are you up yet?
Yeah.
She, like, there's no chill with this woman.
So, I just want to bring up the fact, also, that... he's dreaming about a flying motorcycle.
Which we know from chapter one is an actual thing. So
yeah.
He's remembering it, which is really weird.
And yeah. What? It happened in October. August, September, October. He was 1 year and 3 months old, and he can remember being on a flying motorcycle?
Well.
I guess we're going to leave that up to his uniqueness.
Uniqueness. There it is.
Yes. Being spoiler-free is hard.
Oh, well. It is what it is.
We do it for you. Yeah, I just... that's crazy to me. So, it just happens to be Dudley's birthday that day. And everything has to be just right. Harry is making breakfast, bacon, having been told to make sure not to burn it, and fried eggs. When Uncle Vernon comes in and barks at him to comb his hair.
They always mention his hair. Leave his hair alone.
Well, like, so the way that they describe it is that it's just wild and grows all over the place. They describe it later.
Yeah, no, I'm...
But honestly, just leave his hair alone. What is the problem with somebody having slightly messy hair? Like, obviously, if it looks like a rat's nest, that's a problem. But...
his hair simply grew that way, all over the place.
Let's just leave him alone. Let Harry be. It's we just need his to start hair. A hashtag. Leave Harry alone.
Yeah. And then Dudley looks like a pig in a wig, so that's lovely.
So
but again, we're going too far ahead. Let's go back a little bit.
So this is where we first see it, that it's like Harry isn't even allowed a moment of peace. He doesn't even get a hello. He doesn't even get a good morning. It's get up, you have to do stuff. And the first thing he hears from his uncle is, comb your hair.
I mean, that's a fairly, like, normal way, like, a normal, like, thing if your parent is kind of strict or kind of, like, a little douchey trying to help you maintain your image. But also, it's, like, all of it together is just, like, such a negative way to start your day. Like, there's no way your day can go well after that.
Yeah.
Especially when you live in a cupboard under stairs.
A cupboard that's filled with spiders.
Which, I know we said we're going to do a movie afterwards, but I'm going to mention it now. When Dudley comes down the stairs and just starts stomping on the stairs. Like...
such a pain in the butt. I you know, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Dudley then comes downstairs...
Into the kitchen,
and almost has a fit over receiving only 36 presents. Not counting Aunt Marge's.
Which he's reminded of.
Yes. And all is good once they promise to buy him two more while out.
Though he can't count the extra three presents together because it's 36. Like, and then she's like, oh, and 37 with Aunt Marge's if you count that. And then we'll buy you two more. 39 pumpkin. Like, he just doesn't... he's so stupid.
He really is.
He's like a really dumb... he's such a dull-minded person, I suppose.
Dim-witted?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Because I don't want to call him dumb. That's mean.
It's okay. I'll call him dumb.
Yeah, he's dumb. Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to say that he's opening up presents, he got a new computer just for him, a VCR, a video game, a remote control airplane.
Video camera.
Oh, yeah. Video camera. My bad. 16 new computer games and a gold watch. And those are just the things that we saw him open.
Yeah.
And Harry lives in a cupboard and gets hand-me-downs.
Well, it's mentioned later. We're going to mention it again.
Yeah.
Obviously. But his last birthday, he got, what was it, a coat hanger and a pair of Uncle Vernon's old socks.
Yeah.
So that's a disparity between them. 39 presents.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry gets a coat hanger and socks. Old socks, not new socks.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
I just don't understand. Why would you make that kind of a difference? Like, if you're any kind of decent human being... There, I hit it. Sorry, my bad.
There you go. They're not decent people.
No.
Not to Harry, at least. Oh, gosh.
Oh. Well, and they're doing this thing where they are still trying to seem normal. And to me, being that way, quote unquote normal, being that way, I hate the word normal, by the way.
I do.
Because it's so subjective and one person's definition is not always going to match up with another one's. But what makes them think that any of their behavior is actually normal? I don't get that.
All right, so let's keep going. The phone rings and we find out that Mrs. Fig broke her leg. Oh, was it Mrs.? I think it's Miss Fig. I don't know if they've mentioned
No, they actually say Mrs., but I think it's just as a sign of respect.
Okay, I feel that. Broke her leg and can't watch Harry for the day. After trying to think of other ways to keep him out of Dudley's big day, out, his birthday, they resign themselves to taking him along with Dudley and his best friend, Piers. Piers Polkis. What a name.
I know.
So, they suggest Yvonne, which is Petunia's friend.
They suggest March.
Did they? Okay.
Yes. And Petunia shoots it down with, don't be silly, she hates the boy. And they're saying this in front of him. So I just want to know, I just want to point out, they really do ignore him and treat him like he's either not there or something ridiculously gross.
Something like that has to be ignored. Something that's not even, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I think that's worse than being treated like poorly, because at least like there's some kind of emotion behind it, but treating him like he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst.
That kills me.
So yeah, they figure out that there's no one they could leave him with.
Well, then they suggest Yvonne.
Yeah, and then she's on vacation.
And she's on vacation in Mallorca.
Yeah.
Harry even suggests being left home alone. And Petunia's like, no, we're gonna leave you here and you're gonna what?
Find the house in ruins. Yeah.
Do they think he's gonna burn down the house or something?
Yeah. A near 11-year-old can just destroy a house for funsies. I mean, I don't have an 11-year-old. I've never left an 11-year-old in a house and seen the outcome. But I'm assuming the house isn't left in ruins.
Yeah.
So
that seems like an exaggeration.
And then leaving him in the car, which, again, can't do because it's a new car. And apparently he will destroy the car.
So let's worry more about a car that can be replaced and not a human being.
Well, he doesn't exist, remember?
Oh, yeah. So my bad. No, he's something gross. My bad.
Yeah. And then Dudley fake cries and tries to get his way while, like, sneering at Harry from between Petunia's arms. And it's like, bro, you are such a terrible person and, like, family member. I can't.
Well, to me, it just shows me that this is his MO. This is his mode of operation. He knows that this works because he's done it forever. So he's trying to pull all of the tricks he has out of his bag to be like, ha ha, Harry, you're not going to be able to enjoy this fun day like you never get to enjoy anything fun.
Yep.
Poor Harry.
So, before they leave, because finally they've exhausted all attempts to have him left with someone, because they don't want to deal with him, because apparently he's a terrible person for nothing.
Well, he's just Harry.
Yeah, he's just Harry. Lovely. He gets warned by his uncle. Any funny business, anything at all, and you'll be left in that cupboard from now until Christmas. I mean,
That seems excessive.
Because this happens before Harry's birthday, which we know is in July.
Yes.
I don't exactly know Dudley's birthday. I can find out right now, but I don't.
I'll look it up while we talk.
Okay. So for how many months is he threatening this? Anywhere from 5 to 10 months. To lock him in the cupboard.
June 23rd.
Okay. 6 months.
Locked in the cupboard. That he's, and that's from the Wikia, so it may or may not be correct. Let's just put it out there. We're going to assume it's correct. It says 5 weeks before his cousin Harry.
Okay. So they're going to lock him in a cupboard for 6 months.
And 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Because that's not excessive.
Yeah. But we find out that funny business does seem to happen around Harry.
Yes. Like,
I mean, he gets a brutal haircut from Petunia to the point that he's basically bald and just has bangs to cover the scar.
The hideous scar.
The hit, even though it's his favorite feature about him, yes. By the way. And it grows back overnight.
And he gets punished for a week.
Yeah.
Like, he's stuck in his cupboard for a week.
Yeah. An old sweater trying to be forced onto him by Petunia that is just horrendous.
Yes.
And it shrinks to the point that it can probably fit a hand puppet, but definitely not Harry.
But luckily, he doesn't get punished for that one.
Because she had chalked it up to having shrunk in the wash, in the dryer.
Which I find really interesting that she would even say that, because when she grabbed it, it was big enough to fit him.
Yeah.
So how is that even possible for something to shrink afterwards?
Yeah. Mysteriously finding himself sitting on the roof of the school's kitchens, which for me, I was like, kitchens? Like, do they have a separate, building for in the UK? I don't know how the architecture is for those schools.
I don't know, but I'm thinking about, elementary school that half a year when I went to public school, where they had the building was sectioned off,
mm-hmm.
but it was still part of the building, but it was like a little different section that you had to go to get to the cafeteria and the kitchen.
Fair enough.
So maybe that's what it was.
Okay. So that's the thing. And found himself on the roof after being chased by Dudley's gang, assuming that he was aiming to get behind dumpsters
and
then found himself. The wind must have carried him off.
That's
so
what I was gonna
say. He weighs 5 pounds. It's fine.
Well, I mean, he's got to weigh hardly anything if they're locking him in a cupboard for a week.
Yeah, and probably giving him toast. Lovely people.
Stale toast.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really mind them though. There's just things that happened around him, and he's not doing anything malicious. But they're treating him like he's this terrible person.
Yeah, and I honestly, these things that happened to him, they're not the average thing that happens to the average person.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just rolling with this, these things just happened to me. And he doesn't understand why his aunt and uncle are having such a problem with it, because these things just happen to him all the time.
Yeah. And it goes back to how his uncle goes, his inner monologue is like, oh, I don't believe in imagination. Because if he's not even allowed to mention things acting in a way they shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the car, the whole motorcycle, hoodlums thing. Mm-hmm. I had a motorcycle. I had a dream that a motorcycle,
And he flew. Overreacts.
Motorcycles don't fly.
Yeah.
Like yelling at him in a car full of people,
mm-hmm.
like treating him like he's just like an ignorant child. And it's like, it's just a dream.
They in the book, it actually says because they don't want him to get any dangerous ideas. What are you going to get a dangerous idea from? Like a cartoon? Okay. Well, some cartoons back in the 90s were bad idea full.
Well, no one would ever make a flying car or anything.
Mm-mm.
So
they end up having to take him. And this is Harry's first time at the zoo. And he is having the best morning ever. He had a cheap lemon pop completely by accident.
Because they couldn't get him away from the woman from the stand fast enough. And, I mean, she's a nice lady probably because she's like, hey, what do you want? Because
there's three kids, so why not get all three of them something?
Yeah, she is a decent person.
Yes.
And a good salesman.
And, by the way, Dudley and Piers had large chocolate ice creams.
Yeah, and he gets flavored water.
And he gets a cheap lemon pop. They had lunch at the zoo's restaurant, where he was able to eat Dudley's first Knickerbocker Glory, because Dudley said it didn't have enough ice cream for him, so they just bought him a new one.
Ice cream on top, which maybe is fair, but how much ice cream do you need if it's a layered ice cream and sugar, sugary stuff? Like, relax.
It's Dudley.
Yeah, true. I mean, never enough.
He's, what was he described as?
A pig in a wig.
Pig in a wig. As he looked like a beach ball when he was a baby.
A blonde gorilla.
He gets described as just this big old massive person. So it kind of makes sense to me that he's greedy and wants as much ice cream as he can possibly get.
So then after lunch, they go to Reptile House while the narrative explains, like, oh, Harry should have known better, or maybe it's just even him, like, from his perspective, saying, like, oh, he should have known that it wouldn't have lasted this calm, nice period, which is so sad.
It's so sad that he automatically assumes that if something good is happening to him, that of course something awful is going to happen afterwards.
Yeah, because that's just how it is. That's just how it is for his life with the Dursleys. They're just, oh, okay. So they go there. They look. Obviously, Dudley wants to see the biggest snake because he's the biggest snake.
yes.
You know, tells his dad to try and wake it up. Raps on the glass. Oh, try again. Tries again. The snake doesn't care. They walk away. Harry stays and, you know, just looks at the snake and just exists there. And the snake wakes up and looks at him. And they do. They have like this whole sort of like almost like interaction dialogue kind of thing, even though the snake doesn't talk because snakes can't talk. And Harry, they have a conversation about how they're not too different, you know, being locked up. But even then he realizes that it could have been worse, because at least he's still able to explore sometimes. He can still leave the house sometimes or whatever, but the snake is just in a cage and to be like a spectacle.
Yeah, and that to me is a really good example of resiliency in Harry. Like, he goes through these terrible things with the Dursleys that we can only imagine, because some of them aren't even written in the book, but from what we do know, they're terrible human beings, and he's still able to say, yeah, I have it bad, but this poor snake has it worse than me, because he's never even known freedom.
Yeah.
So, Pierce notices this interaction between Harry and the snake, and he calls Dudley over, who knocks Harry over.
No, it's not just knocking over. That's in the movie. Yes. He actually punches him in the ribs in the book.
Yes.
Straight up punches him.
And I literally have written here, all hell breaks loose.
Well, I mean,
as close to perspective as hell breaking loose can.
I mean, like I said, perspective.
Yes. The glass front of the tank that the boa constrictor was in disappears, and the boa constrictor slides past them. No one knows how it happened, and it's much talked about while they're on their way home, until Piers mentions, Harry was talking to it, weren't you, Harry? Piers is a little poop.
I mean, to be fair, he wasn't really trying to be a mean person about it. Caught Michelle.
Yes,
not that it's a curse, but it's just it's
all too far. Still trying to be family friendly.
Yeah. It's more of just, that was really odd. I'm going to mention it. Yeah, he's a mean person because of what he does with Dudley, but I don't think that was with ill intent. I don't really think.
Because if Harry talks about a flying motorcycle and gets yelled at, and this isn't the first instance, I'm sure, because Piers is one of Dudley's friends who comes over all the time.
Yeah, which means that he's stupid, because Dudley's stupid.
Yeah, but he's got to be able to at least put one and one together to make two.
I suppose.
Like one punch with another punch is
two punches. Well, tell us what you think on our Facebook page, if you happen to come across it. We do have a page and a group. You know, join either and let us know what you think. Whether Piers intentionally was trying to, like, start a problem with them, or if he was just commenting on it. I'm of the mind that he was just commenting on it. Jen thinks that he was being,
I am more of the mind that he was being a malicious human being, realizing that it would get Harry in trouble.
Yeah. So then they, when Piers leaves, go, cupboard, stay, no meals. Before Vernon collapses into a chair and Petunia brings him a large brandy. So he's not allowed to eat because of what? Because something odd happened? Because
something unexplainable happened near him.
Can we just say straight up that the Dursleys just straight up abuse Harry? It's not just like, it's not like negligence. It's straight up abuse.
There's some things that I would say, okay, that's negligence. Telling a child that they need to go leave and stay wherever they have to stay and no meals without any end to that, that's abuse. Like, I get sending your kid to sleep without having dinner if they're being a brat and they're not going to eat their food. I totally get that. That's one meal. The next morning they're going to have breakfast and all is well. But they don't give an end to this. He just says no meals.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if they blame him for what happened at the zoo or because Piers mentioned it. I think it's more of mentioning how odd it is, because if he didn't say anything, I don't think Harry would have gotten blamed. I think that it was because Harry was part of the situation, the blame falls to him because it's another odd event that happens around him.
Hmm. I am going to agree with you. I think that it was Piers bringing attention to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, I agree with you. There's nothing else I can say about that.
Yeah. And then mentions how he has to wait until they're asleep to sneak out and get some food, which is just awful.
How often do you think he's had to do that?
A lot. A lot.
He's 10.
Can I just bring something up? I just bring something up very quick. Yes. And this is going to be something that you guys can mull over and Jenna can mull over too, is how many first-time things as a child that you're excited about that he's missed out on because he has to live with these horrendous people. Like the first time he got like a really good grade on a test. Or when he brought like art back from kindergarten, you know, how you show your parents and they pretend to be excited, or maybe even if they are like fairly excited because you're showing development. He did that and it's just, who cares? We care about Dudley's stuff, not yours. You're not important.
I remember you learning how to ride a bike. Do you think anybody taught him how to ride a bike?
No. Why would they? Why would they let him use Dudley's first bike or any bike? Why would they care to make sure that he's safe? He never had the moment of the training wheels bike and your dad pushing you along and then letting go and seeing. Or your mom. Yeah, I mean, you know. It's just like the iconic thing where it's the dad, but it could be your mom too. But like all those first things that are like milestones of a developing child, he's missed out on everything. There's no good moment in his childhood whatsoever.
That makes my heart hurt for him.
Yeah.
It always does.
Yeah. There's just nothing good that is in his childhood. I don't understand how he's developed into such a great person out of like manure, basically.
Yeah.
Like, so that's something I've thought about a lot, which hurts me deeply.
Yeah.
You know, earlier we got an idea of how he looks, but then it's more fleshed out. How he's smaller for his age and thin face, which makes sense because he doesn't get food. Knobbly knees, black unruly hair, which again we did get mentioned to us. Bright green eyes, which we know are from his mom.
Hey, little spoiler. That's a little spoiler. Doesn't come up for another couple chapters.
Yeah. Round glasses held together with scotch tape because Dudley likes to punch him in the face.
With a lot of scotch tape, it says. A lot. So how often does Dudley punch him in the face? And why is it okay for Vernon and Petunia? Why is it okay for them to have their child hit somebody else?
Maybe they never see it. Maybe it's Harry's like, come on. Dudley punched me in the face. I didn't punch him, he fell. Oh, he probably fell.
Come on. You mean to tell me that they live in the same house and they've never witnessed their child be aggressive towards anyone?
Well, do you see how he acts when his parents are looking?
Oh, true.
So, again, Dudley punched me. No, he ran into the wall. He's blaming me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and don't forget the lightning bolt scar on his forehead.
Which sounds awesome.
I mean, okay. So I'm going to throw this out there.
Yes.
Because I did actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
So the scar is there, we know, because it says it in the first chapter.
Yes.
Dark magic.
Mm-hmm.
or something dark.
Yes.
No, they did actually say.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. JK.
Yes.
Said obviously the scar needed to be there, and the reason it's a lightning bolt is because she thought that that would look cool.
There it is.
I love JK for that.
She's my spirit animal, I'm telling you.
She's like, you know what? It's got to be a scar. Lightning bolt that.
Yeah. So the motto with living with the Dursleys is don't ask questions.
Yes.
But as we've mentioned, weird things happen around him. Well, we've given the examples.
Before we go there.
What's up?
He's actually laying in there in his cupboard thinking about his parents.
Yeah.
And how they died in a car crash.
And he can remember the green light.
And he remembers the green light. Hmm. And he doesn't even have pictures of his parents.
That's going to be like the one of the ultimate like moments where you're just like, I hate everything.
So he's not allowed to ask questions. So he can't ask questions about his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't even see what they look like because there are no pictures of them.
Yeah.
That is so not okay.
Yep. So then he's laying there and thinking all of these thoughts. And it's like a very sad, melancholy moment, you know? Punished for something that he didn't do anything wrong, but he's still punished for it. Because that's just his deal, is that he gets punished for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he acknowledges that weird things kind of do happen around him, and weird people approach him. There's a tiny man in a violet top bowed at him once.
Mm-hmm. In a market, I think
yeah,
he said.
I think, yeah. And then a woman on a bus, very wild looking, waved at him from the bus.
I mean, okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's too weird. I mean...
No, when you're little, not for nothing, but old people kind of just want to gravitate to you for some reason. And they're like, oh, hey, little person.
I think they just find them cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then a bald man in a very long purple coat shook his hand on the street. And the odd thing about them, yeah, and the odd thing about them is that every time he tried to approach them or get close to them, they just disappeared.
That is very strange.
It's very odd how they word it. Like, does he just like take a step and they vanish, or like does something happen? Do they round a corner and then he tries to follow them and they're gone or something?
Yeah. But
he's told Petunia and you know made them rush away once or twice.
Yeah,
and she's made them rush away rather.
Yeah, I think they actually left the market without even getting anything.
Yeah. And I think that's how chapter 2 ends.
That is how chapter 2 ends. Okay. He's just laying there thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
So chapter 3.
I love the title of this.
The Letters from No One.
I love it so much. Oh my God.
So good. JK, you're a genius. I mean, JK, if you ever listen to this,
which,
first of all.
Let's be real, probably not going to happen, but that's fine.
But you know what? Let's dream big. JK, you're wonderful. We love you, and your writing is amazing.
Yeah. I actually was inspired by her naming scheme for chapters and tried to make very poignant and interesting chapter titles for my book.
Guys, when his book gets published, y'all are in for a treat. And yes, I did just use the word y'all.
What? So this is going to sound bad, but I haven't looked at the manuscript in a while because I'm trying to sort of try and make myself forget what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look at it with fresher eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of them are really cool, I think. There's the drawing. What's chapter 2 called? Do you remember?
I don't, but I can look right now.
I mean, yeah, we have it uploaded in a couple of places for us to look
okay,
at.
Okay, that's another time. Okay. That's
anyway, okay, okay, so chapter 3. Let's do this.
Chapter 3. As I literally just closed it by accident.
It's okay.
The Letters from No One. The zoo incident got him his longest punishment ever. He was finally allowed out of the cupboard when summer holidays had started.
Which?
So we're talking about, what, a couple of weeks at that point?
Beginning of July, yeah. Beginning of July-ish, so... Or not beginning of July, it would be...
Middle of July.
When does the summer holiday start for the UK? Because for us, it's end of June.
For us, it's end of June, but I think... Or beginning of June,
that wouldn't make sense because if it's his longest punishment ever, it wouldn't be 3 or 4 days. So it would be like middle of July.
Yeah.
So we're going to say 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. He ends up spending most of his time outside of the house afterwards. It literally says, trying to avoid Dudley and his gang. Piers, Dennis, Malcolm, and Gordon were all described as... Not my words. Big and Stupid, with Dudley being the biggest and stupidest.
Which naturally made him the leader.
Of course.
But it's weird that they call them Big and Stupid because Piers is described as being small and ratty in Chapter 2. So we'll just assume that the stupid thing is more aimed at him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that qualifies for him, but the rest are also big and stupid. Like,
yes.
So, and Harry hunting is their favorite pastime. That's what it's called.
Poor Harry.
So that's why he tries to escape the house. So really, his whole punishment ending isn't actually a punishment ending. It's changing.
Different kind of punishment.
Do you think
different day?
Do you think the Dursleys knew and thus let him out early so that their son could, like, bully him a little more?
I would hate for that to be the case.
Let's hope that wasn't the case, because that hurts me even more.
Hey, so I just have to mention this. Your hair is, like, doing this thing today where it's, like, swoopy.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Okay.
I like main character hair. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm just looking at you, and I'm like, whoa.
They can't see.
Exactly, but I have to say it. Your hair is swoopy.
I like it.
Okay.
So Dudley gets accepted to Smeltings, which is Vernon's old private secondary school. Harry's glad that he's going to be going to Stonewall High, which is obviously a different school. It's so he's going to be away from school. Them. Yeah, he's going to be away from them.
How sad is that? That he's like, yay, I get to go to a different school than him, and maybe my life won't suck so much.
Yeah, and this is the first time we see Sassy Harry, which is an alternate ego, which I love. Dudley hits him with the, they stuff people's heads down the toilet on the first day at Stonewall. When I come upstairs and practice, and Harry's response, which is golden, is no thanks. The poor toilet's never had anything as horrible as your head down it. It might be sick. And he ran away before Dudley could even figure out that, you know.
I love Sassy Pants Harry.
Yeah, he's the best.
Sassy Pants Harry. I call him Sassy Pants. But Sassy Harry is definitely one of my favorite ever. Yeah. He's just awesome. Nice. I also like sassy other characters.
Yes.
Because we'll they get to them. All get sassy pants, and I'm like, woo!
So one day in July, the Dursleys leave Harry with Mrs. Fig, whose leg is apparently okay now. When they go to London to get Dudley's uniform.
Well, maybe she had just broken her leg. Because I remember when I broke my ankle, I didn't want to do anything the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
But then eventually you have to keep doing your life.
You have to live.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, I guess I can watch him. They probably begged.
Yeah, probably. And then Harry has probably the worst slice of cake ever. Tastes a couple of years old.
Yes.
I mean, I'm down for that cake, though. I live for it.
But okay. You know that they went to London to get Dudley's uniform.
Yeah.
For Smeltings.
Which, I mean, they get a cane, so that's kind of fun. Or a walking stick or something like that. Which they can use to beat each other randomly to develop character. Which for me is like, let's just assault kids for fun. Other kids for fun. Like, I don't understand.
That's woohoo! Weird. Let's just be violent. Approved violence. Yeah.
So the next day when Harry's back with them, Petunia is found in the kitchen with something smelling awful. And she's dying Dudley's old clothes gray so that he can look like everyone else. Can someone please point me in the direction where someone is wearing all gray? I'm very curious about this one.
So she's done. Okay, so they went to London to pick up
his beautiful new uniform.
And the next day she's dying old clothes that is several sizes too large for Harry's school clothes.
Well, who doesn't like to wear elephant pelt to high school?
Oh, yeah. Who totally wants to stand out in a bad way on their first day of secondary school?
Yeah, yeah. So the mail comes, and there's the whole back and forth. Dudley, go get the mail. Make Harry go get it. Make Dudley go get it. Dudley, hit him with your stick. Poke him with your stick. That's lovely. It's great. Encouraging that. So Harry's forced to go get it. Surprisingly, there's a letter for Harry. There's no mistaking who it's for, because plainly on the front it says, Mr. H. Potter, the cupboard under the stairs, 4 Privet Drive, Little Wingjing, Surrey.
I love that it actually says, the cupboard under the stairs.
Yes, also a little creepy. They know where he sleeps.
A little creepy. Santa Claus is also a little creepy.
Yeah, but he gives me presents, not letters. Random letters. That's a little different. If Santa's like, you sleep on that bed, but I'm going to leave you a computer, I'd be like, bro, you can know where I poop. It's fine. You know everything. I'm down for it. Give me that computer,
baby. Oh, my goodness.
So let's keep going.
I think he also finds it more interesting, number one, because he says that he's never received any mail. He doesn't even have a library card.
For them to send him the rude letters to return a book.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which I've gotten those before, and because of the Harry Potter books. Continue.
But it's on parchment. It has an emerald green writing on it.
Which is probably really vivid, and you don't see anywhere.
And mind you, this came in the mail, but it has no stamp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's probably like, what is this?
Are you checking for letter bombs?
Right?
What a stupid... Okay. Anyway. I've used stupid too much in this episode. Let's relax.
Okay.
So Harry hands him the two letters. One looking like it's a...
Bill.
Mm-hmm. In a brown envelope. And the second one is a postcard from Marge, I think?
Yes.
Is that the one where she ate a funny whelk, or is that later?
That's in the movie, I think.
Okay, cool. Whatever. So Harry's about to open it, and then, of course, Dudley, who is awful, is, you know, Harry's got something. And then there's, you know, his uncle takes it away in Petunia, and he reads it, and then has Petunia. He switches colors very quickly from green to red to porridge white. Right? I think that's the order. Or it could be the first two switch. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Details. Well, details do matter. But okay. So, shows it to Petunia and they freak out and then order them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get chucked out. And then they have a fight to see who can listen at the keyhole. Harry obviously loses because he's about a tenth of Dudley's weight.
Yeah.
So, they listen in. And it's... Well, what is it exactly? What are the words? Because your notes are very lackluster at this point. No offense.
Hey, look. All right? They're my notes.
I'm just saying. They're kind of terrible.
You're kind of terrible.
Vernon, look at the address. How could they possibly know where he sleeps? You don't think they're watching the house? Question. Watching spying might be following us. But what should we do, Vernon? Shall we write back? Tell them we don't want... Harry could see him walking back and forth, whatever. No, he said finally, no, we'll ignore it. If they don't get an answer, yes, that's best. We won't do anything. But I'm not having one in the house, Petunia. Didn't we swear when we took him in we'd stamp out that dangerous nonsense?
Yeah.
So that's how that part ends. So one of them in the house will stamp out that dangerous nonsense.
What is so dangerous?
That's really enigmatic. Like, really, 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 really. And then that whole thing ends, and then he's like, where's my letter? Who's writing to me? No one. It was addressed to you by mistake. I have burned it.
Why would you burn something?
Trying to hide something.
I know, but even a 10-year-old, almost 11-year-old, is going to realize that this is fishy.
Yeah. It was not a mistake. It had my cupboard on it. Silence. Yelled at him. You know, try to calm down and tell him that, you know, you're leaving that cupboard. You're going, getting a room.
You're moving upstairs.
Yep, in the smallest room, naturally.
Dudley's second bedroom.
Yeah, of course.
So he doesn't just get one bedroom. He gets two bedrooms, and Harry got a cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah, but to our surprise, Dudley's complaining didn't get him his room back, which also deeply surprised him because he did everything he could to get his room back.
Yeah, it wasn't just complaining. It was crying. It was doing all kinds of stuff. He even purposely made himself sick.
Yeah.
And he still didn't get his way.
Yeah, which so is shocking, like, to him.
What is going on?
Yeah. The next day we get some more letters, but this time addressed to the smallest bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Sold to Harry. Snatches them.
Three that day.
Yeah. Snatches those away and tears them up, and then that day nails the mail slot, but we see that he's sort of becoming a little unhinged because he tries to use a fruit bread he's handed to knock in the last nail or something like that.
Yeah, a little unhinged. Okay.
Yeah.
You're being generous.
And then that Friday, he gets 12 letters slid in through the cracks of the door and through the small bathroom window. They're burned and the cracks are boarded up.
Yeah, and on Saturday, he gets 24.
Yeah.
Rolled up and hidden inside 24 eggs.
Yeah, and then Petunia shreds them in her food processor, and he makes calls to the mail and the dairy to complain to someone, because that's odd to him, and he's not okay with it.
And odd things are not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Vernon's world.
Yeah. So on that Sunday, Vernon thinks it's safe because mail doesn't get delivered on Sunday. But to his surprise, lots of letters fly in down the chimney.
30 to 40.
Yeah. And then Harry, who isn't thinking ahead, who isn't just crouching down to grab one and then hiding it on his person, decides to try and jump up and grab one.
Okay. I just have to say, if he had actually been a true Ravenclaw, he would have gotten one from the floor. There were 30 or 40 of them. At that point, Vernon can't manage all 30 or 40 of them. Yeah. He would have grabbed one and hid one to read later.
What you can do is like store one away and then try and jump up and grab one, because then it's like, he doesn't have one. Grab him, throw him out. I've got one, though.
Exactly. Just hidden. But no, he didn't think that through.
So that was the last straw. Vernon starts ripping out, you know, tufts of his hair from his mustache. Which, to me, indicates great strength, because if you are a human and then try to rip out your hair out of anywhere, it is a very painful thing. So he's ripping out actual...
Yeah. And human beings have this aversion to pain, so they're going to do everything they can to not cause pain to themselves. Yeah. So he's pulling out...
He's actually losing it.
He's losing his mind.
Yeah. So then we go... they leave... because he can't handle anymore. And they end up at a gloomy-looking hotel on the outskirts of a big city, Cokeworth. Mm-hmm. That following morning, the hotel owner comes to them and says, is any one of you, you know, Mr. H. Potter? Because I have this letter and about 100 of them.
I like the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Jim Dale is like, is anyone named Mr. H. Potter?
Yeah.
H. I love it.
I mean, Zed. Anyway. So, you know, Harry is about to pipe up and Vernon says, no, I'll take them. And she makes a face, whatever.
I wonder what he did with them.
Probably just chucked them.
I mean, they were... You said chucked. They burned them. They shredded them in a food processor. They did all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Gone crazy. Probably already crazy. A lot crazy. Okay. So... For a second, we're just going to mention how crazy Dudley must think this is, because his life is like, he is on a routine, you know, being a mean-spirited child, watching his favorite television shows, doing whatever the hell he wants.
And he basically runs the house.
Yeah, and he can do nothing. He's stuck on this journey of trying to avoid these letters that are, you know, addressed to this person that he has never valued in his entire life. Mm-hmm. So this is like a crazy adventure. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, so... Vernon is super shaken now because it's no longer at their house. They're somewhere random and still getting these letters.
Mm-hmm.
So, takes the family on that Monday. Well, it doesn't... Timeline-wise, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Have they been out for a week then?
5 days, it says.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because they got them on Thursday. They got them on Wednesday, the first one. Thursday would have been 3. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Monday is the sixth day. So they had already gotten them for 5 days.
Yeah, but then it says the next day at the hotel. So that would be on a Tuesday and on a Monday. No. It doesn't matter.
They left Sunday to go to the hotel.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That makes sense. My brain was not understanding that you can get to a hotel on the same day that you leave your house. That I don't know why that... Anyway.
Hey, Al. There's a hotel, like... 10 minutes away from here.
Pulling a Vernon. I tried to combine them.
You can't talk today. Oh, I couldn't talk last time.
On and off. We're taking turns.
Okay.
So, takes the family away. They go far away, get a long thing packaged, find their way to some random forest and make random turns and stop and turn around. They do this shake all this crazy
shake
stuff.
Shake them off.
Finally, they get to the coast, I suppose, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
They take a tiny little boat
to they meet some old man who has owns this boat and maybe the shack. And then they rent it, I suppose.
On top of a large rock.
Yeah.
They get there and everyone goes to sleep. But here's the funny thing. Petunia and Vernon are going to sleep in the shack's single room. Dudley sleeps on a moth-eaten sofa. None of us can speak. Sofa set up by Petunia. So she actually sets up a bed for him on the sofa.
Something mildly comfortable.
Something at least, yes, that he can sleep on that night. And Harry gets to sleep on the softest part of the floor.
How lovely.
Yeah.
You know, more child abuse.
Yeah.
Lovely. And Harry realizes that it's his birthday on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, it's in a couple of hours, it's his birthday.
Not even a couple of hours. He's counting down.
Yeah, we get to the minutes. It's been an entire day. Mm-hmm. I'm driving, looking someplace to hide.
So basically, he's watching on Dudley's watch.
Mm-hmm. 5 minutes to go, he hears something creak outside. 4 minutes ago, thinks about stealing a letter, if there are any, when they get back to the house, which he should have done in the first place. Idiot boy.
3 minutes to go. Is that the sea or something else slapping hard on the rock?
Two. What's that crunching?
One, and counting down to midnight. Boom! Someone's at the door knocking to come in. And that is the end of chapter 3.
So, tell us what you think about these two chapters. I think that the two chapters are incredible. Incredible backstory. Wonderful sort of... I don't...
It's a good setup.
I hate saying wonderful because it's about the Dursleys and about...
And they're terrible.
Yeah, how terrible they actually are and about... It makes you just think, like I mentioned before, about all the firsts that he's missed out because he's had this terrible family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all that stuff. You get a feel for how neglected and abused Harry is.
Yeah.
But he's still he's such a good kid.
Sassy but good.
Yeah, he's sassy but good. Like he doesn't even have these like terrible feelings towards the Dursleys. He's not like, I hate them so much. He's just like,
this is my life. Which would be understandable.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, this is my life and I have to deal with it for now. Like, it's gonna get better.
Hopefully.
I mean, he knows it's gonna get better because of the school situation.
Yes.
But he's very optimistic. He's not pessimistic about his situation, which is incredible to have at that young of an age with the situation you've lived in for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our end. That's our end of this episode, episode 2.
Yeah.
How are we long? Did this go for a long time?
Yeah. 52 minutes.
Oh, well, it's shorter than our introduction in chapter 1. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I think we've decided we're going to do 4 by itself.
Yes.
Because there's a lot to go over. Yeah. So 4 is going to be by itself. We're probably going to... Are you going to come over tomorrow? Because then we can do 4 probably. And then 5 and 6.
We're going to edit this out anyway.
Yeah. Well, we can just keep it. Who cares? People can know our schedule. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So come tomorrow and we'll do 2 episodes and then we'll have those ready for...
Yeah, I have to take notes on chapter 5 now. I have done chapter 4.
We'll do that. We'll do that while...
Yeah.
We'll do this stuff later. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Fine. I mean, again, people, I don't want to, like, be all secretive. We can be transparent about what our plans are. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you know, I did my reviews on these other chapters while I was at work when we weren't busy. So, I mean,
I'm sure you'll be able to knock them out really fast. So, cool. Perfect. Yeah. So, we'll have this uploaded shortly. I mean, you guys don't know when we're recording this. It doesn't matter. It'll be up at some point.
We'll eventually give transparency to that, too. I mean, we're not hiding anything. We are who we are. And
yeah. Realistically, our recording schedule is after she gets here from her job, and she like gets out at 6 and gets here at 7 something, because that's an hour drive, and then we eat with the rest of our family, so we can start recording at maybe 8:30. So on those days we can get one out, but on the weekends we can get out so many, we can do so many. But like we said, I'm not sure if we mentioned it, but in
we did it
episode 1. So our schedule is probably going to be 2 normal episodes a week. Plus 1 what if every other week once we start that, if that's a thing that we're going to do. I don't think if we even mentioned that again.
We didn't even mention that.
Okay.
So, we'll spoiler.
We'll talk about it some other time. All this is all up in the air right now. For now, we're just doing a normal upload when we can kind of thing, but schedule will come into place.
Yeah. We wanted to post content for you guys right away, so that's why we posted when we did. But we're pretty much going to post on Mondays and, what was it, Mondays and Fridays?
One so you can have one coming into the week and one that you can start your weekend off with.
Exactly.
This was our thought. So that's what we're going to do in the near future. For now, it's just upload when we upload.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you enjoy. We hope you keep coming back. Hope you go to our page and we can have that discussion on Piers Poulkis.
Yes.
Lovable little rat.
And again, please join us on Facebook. We are, our page is called The Dueling Club. please, if you there's want two. To.
There's two. There's a page and the group. And the group
is called, the Dueling Club Podcast.
Yes.
And our group is also the Dueling Club Podcast
group. The picture should be fairly similar, so you should be able to find us.
Yes. We would love for you to join us. I am pretty much...
Always on there. She's excited about likes.
You know what? I just want to post stuff and have you guys enjoy it. That's it.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
People liking what you do,
right? Yeah. Because I like what I do.
So yeah, download, listen, share with your friends, go subscribe, on Facebook, follow. Subscribe. Do the whole spiel that people tell you to do. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
Hagrid.